Okay. Good afternoon. This is the Design Commission, and I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff that are here, Kara Fioravanti and Paige Postma. The members of the commission here today are myself, Gwen Milius, Jane Hansen, and I know that David Wark, the vice chair, is in the building. We are one commissioner shy of a quorum, so we'll probably need to wait for someone else to stroll in before I can get started. I have a brief introduction to read today. This is the third time this type 3 has come through, so I've been told I don't need to read the entire two-page statement about how we do type 3s, since we have that on the record. So commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or a bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Again, we are waiting for our fellow commissioners to come in. Hello, Tim Herron. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Tim Herron, BDS.
You want that on the record?
Yeah, I think it has to be on the record.
As well.
Thanks.
Just so you know, I did secure a date with City Council for a State of the City design report. It's going to be March 28th at 9:30.
Okay.
I was going to talk about that later when we have a few more commissioners present, but just FYI, that was something I was trying to nail down, and I have lots of thoughts.
Okay. How much response have you gotten on the retreat next week? And
A little bit.
Okay.
And that was something else I was hoping that I could, since we have a little shorter hearing than we anticipated today.
Yeah.
Maybe we could take a little bit of time and get into that if you want.
Yeah.
And maybe do some double duty so you don't have to respond to my emails.
Okay. Maybe. Potentially. Yeah.
But if it works.
The list. Okay. Okay. Good.
Groovy.
Oh, there. Now we got three of four.
I'm supposed to be the extra one.
Yeah, I know.
I was non-essential.
Yeah. You are now. I've deputized you essential.
This is awkward, isn't it?
I know. What's everyone doing? Sandra out there?
You've got to do it right in Russia.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, this is a. I wouldn't have to repeat myself anyway, but, you know, the last hearing we said our piece.
Right.
For the most part, and we're hoping to make this a
quick.
Very short, yeah, wrap up of the case. Sort of a formality, and then we'll be moving on. I'm wondering if Tim can go out and find a member of the public that could be quickly anointed as a design commissioner so he could...
Do we have a sergeant at arms? We'll get him?
The parking lot was very full, so it's possible to be there. It's possible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are ready to roll here. I think Paige, if I didn't mention on the further record, Commissioner Wark is here and Commissioner Kaiser. So the case before us today is LU 11-160898 DZM, the OUS OHSU Collaborative Life Sciences Building in Scordy's Tower. The representative is George Hager from Sarah Architects. And the address is 2750 Southwest Moody Avenue. Kara Fioravanti is here to present. And as Kara kindly pointed out to me before the hearing, this is our third visit as a Type 3 review. We are doing this hearing largely as a procedural matter. We've really kind of set a lot of the final comments for the project at the last hearing. We were just minus a complete staff report, and so we needed to have the applicant back to cross an I and dot a T here. So unless there's, some important things that you want to add to the record, you certainly have the opportunity to do that today, but otherwise I think both the applicant and this commission would probably appreciate keeping this item on the agenda short and sweet. So with that, Kara, please go ahead.
Thanks. Today we published a staff recommendation recommending approval of the project based on the drawings that we saw last time, plus a few additional drawings we got. I think we got them last week, and then the drawings that we'll see today. I would like to point out my staff report did assume two things were taken care of, and we'll see that today. One is the parking garage entry finish at the walls entering in are treated appropriately, and the lighting was baffled. And two, the acceptance of the material sample for the railing. And I guess the only other thing I'll add is that we got a memo from the applicant, which was really helpful. It responded to, I sent a very casual email kind of summarizing your comments last time. That was included in the memo with what they were doing and what they were not doing. So that's a good list to follow for today. And with that, I'll hand it over.
Commissioners, thanks for having us back. I'm Brian Newman with OHSU, and on behalf of the ownership group, which obviously is OHSU, but also includes Oregon University System, our friends at Portland State University and Oregon State University. We're here hopefully just to answer your questions and to take care of a few last items that you wanted follow-up on, and I'm eager to get your feedback today and hopefully a decision. I think it's been almost 8 months since we first had our design advisory review, our first design advisory review with you, and it's been quite a journey from then to here, and I think that we all feel very strongly that the product has improved significantly because of your active participation. And so we're not going to go through a lot of today. We did a lot of that last week as far as showing, showing the changes since your last meeting. But we wanted to just specifically respond to a couple things related to views, related to materials and material sample, and then, of course, the lighting and the treatment of the garage. And so I'm joined by Arnold Swanborn with Co-Architects, who's going to address most of those. If you have any specific question related to lighting, Lisa Pedersen with Sarah is here as well. Arnold.
Thanks for having us back. And we have just a real quick agenda, and it's really relating back to the email Kara sent back to us, which was the discussion points that were brought up at the last meeting. So we briefly touched on some additional views that were requested on the West Terrace. We'll talk a little bit about the structure, the materiality, and the massing of the East Pod, and then a couple of items that were brought up along Mead Street, which were the benches that were integral to the sill of the windows and the garage entry and lighting. With that, I'm going to go through these very quickly unless you have questions about them. This is a view on the West Terrace with a little bit of landscape in there and very few people at this point, but this is looking basically from the northwest corner towards the South Tower and the West Lecture Hall, so you can kind of see what that might feel like and how open that actually has become at the ground floor. You'll note that you can actually look, there's actually some lighting coming into the parking structure. There's the entrance is on the right, and then the materiality of the lecture hall is that wood paneled material above sort of a glazed lower story. This is the same terrace looking from the southwest corner, so you're kind of underneath the southern bar looking back towards the north tower. And looking down, which is the walkway that leads from that northwest corner and the drop-off and the tram stop at the corner there that would lead up to the terrace from a handicap accessibility standpoint. On the east pod, there were a couple of comments, and one of the comments was, what's the top of that like? Is that a solid rail or is that a kind of railing? Is that so? What we brought with us is is this material that I'd sort of just like to pass along. You can sort of touch it and feel it. It's a stainless steel cable. It's not highly tensioned material. It's kind of a netting. We chose that in lieu of doing something that's glass from a maintenance standpoint. But it's essentially sort of going to have stainless steel top bar and stainless steel stanchions with that netting in between it that runs continuously along the top. It essentially disappears in about when you're 10, 15 feet away from it. It's very, very porous material. The other thing that we'd like to point out, and we took your comment to heart, is to actually look at what we could do with the structure underneath that east pod. And our structural engineers tell us that this is really the best they can do. As light as they can make it. We looked at trying to make it a little bit thinner, trying to simplify, but given where we are at the project, with the project, there's very little that can be done in terms of lightening that at this point. And then lastly, there was a comment from Kat that she was worried about the view of the little piece that was poking up out of the east pod. So we've taken some views from basically Porter Street looking back at that, at the volume, sort of looking at street level, looking up at it. You notice you can't really see it. We've also looked in that same view, or taken view from a different side. And once again, it's very difficult to see from, this is a pedestrian promenade, pretty much standing at the edge of our property looking back. So that volume really is not perceivable. And we really can't take it off. We have some mechanical systems that sit underneath it. Then lastly, on Mead, just to briefly address the benches, we think that the northern or the eastern end of the street may at some point become a drop-off area, and we think that if it ever becomes that, those benches would actually be very helpful. We're also worried about, as the sill drops down, that it becomes a surface that needs to be sacrificial to some extent, so the benches are going to help with that so it doesn't become a waterproofing and a scratching issue with the metal panels. So we've elected to keep those. And then lastly, the garage entry. There was a point made that, and I think a very good point, frankly, that this, because these gates are so far back, that this really should look like it's part of the building. That's a finished material. So what we are doing at this point is we're taking the ACM panels that are on the column covers, typically along Mead Street, and we're actually wrapping that into the entry condition on both sides. And we're taking the material color that's on the above there and wrapping it into the ceiling. So that ceiling panel over here is a corrugated painted red material that's essentially allowing the entire facade to sort of wrap into the building, and you'll see like 35 feet into the building you'll see the gates.
And fortunately, you can see it really well on the screen, on the computer screen as opposed to the large screen. So if you are curious, if you want to come around here where you can see a little bit closer as well.
We have a view of this at the end of our presentation. So, and Lisa, we'll talk a little bit about the lighting.
Hi, I'm Lisa Pedersen with Sarah Architects. I serve as the lighting designer for the project. And what we're proposing for the parking garage entry is an indirect solution. The fixture labeled G10 in the upper left-hand corner is the bright yellow lines that you're seeing that are parallel to, oops, that didn't work.
The red one.
There, right there, going between the true drive aisles. The idea is we're uplighting the surface of the parking garage, which is either a painted white material at the entry or an insulation material as you get further back, but in all cases it will be a light, bright material, so that will provide the overall illumination. The cutoff for the fixture is totally indirect, and it has a reflector that you can see in the image that prevents any direct sight lines into the fixture. At the mouth of the parking garage, here and here, we're using a linear wall washer to illuminate the panel that Arnold spoke about that also has a shield that will prevent any direct light from going to the exterior of the building. And then we're following that concept deeper into the building with a similar linear light fixture that also washes the parking office wall and the entry to the dental school. So the idea of illuminated planes is really what we're playing with. And then here's the technical details of the fixtures with the technical cutoffs. What you can see is the fixture that's in the indirect is totally uplight only. You can see the cutoff for the linear wall washer and the linear fixtures for the record.
Then finally, that's a view of the parking entry as one would see it from the street.
And I think that was the end of our formal presentation as it relates to the questions and the follow-up that you asked for. But we're here for any questions that you might have.
Okay. Any comments or questions about what we just saw?
A quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Lisa, the comment on the lighting was more to the indirect lighting's great, don't get me wrong, but I think it was as much about the contrast at night between how bright parking garages look versus the street, and it's, you know, it's so dim on the street. And so can you speak to maybe the light level? Granted, and I was kind of saying, I know you need to keep safety standards and all that kind of stuff, but is there a way to kind of maybe put a little more mood lighting there at the mouth of the garage that's a little more complementary to what's going on in the exterior versus just having that in-your-face bright garage light?
Sure, Kat. So what people, when you speak about lighting, what you're really concerned about is what is the contrast ratio? How absolute light levels we really don't see in absolute light levels, we see in contrast. And so right now the street levels in that area are generally lit to about 1 to 2 foot candles. In a parking garage entry, you would normally want it to be about 5 to 10 foot candles. But what you don't want to do is have a strong contrast between where you have the 1 to 2 foot candles and where you have the 5 foot candles. And so the idea of the red mouth is to really mitigate that contrast between the 1 to 2 foot candles that we have in the street and the 5 foot candles that we'll have further into the entry of the garage where you actually get the tickets in the area that you need that 5 foot candles. The indirect actually helps us to achieve that, the light level that's required without excessive glare.
I was just curious, in my building they put in pictures in the hallway where they dim when no one's in the hallway, and then as you walk by, it's sort of like in the grocery store, except they don't walk.
Yes.
I was wondering if there's a way to do something like that, mainly from an energy conservation standpoint, when as a car comes towards the entrance and leaves the entrance, is there a way that the light comes up and goes down? I mean, from a couple of standpoints, that might be a good idea.
Yeah, they have what are known as dimming ballasts that are typically done with occupancy sensors.
Right.
It's typically not done with an automobile because of the speed that an automobile travels at, that the occupancy sensor doesn't have the same time frame to respond as it does with you as a human that are walking through your corridor. That being said, we do have a time clock scenario for the overall exterior lighting of the project, and I would envision that we would be putting these fixtures on that time clock and could be looking at different settings for the parking garage after hours when it's not fully occupied.
Sure, okay.
Any other questions?
I had a question about, and I know I'm kind of wasn't here last
time. You're here now.
I'm here now. I was here. Actually, yeah, I was here. Anyway, the pole lights outside in the pedestrian realm, east and west, are those similar to the ones in the South Waterfront Park that are?
Yes. So if you're speaking of the light fixtures that are on the promenade level,
right.
They're an indirect fixture, and so the light emanates from
I
the
know
top.
What they are. Are they the same as the one? Do you know that?
They're actually the same manufacturer, and they have the same finish. It's actually a slightly different shape to the reflector, and the reason that we use the different reflector is we're right on the edge of the property line. We're going for the lead dark mm-hmm. skies point, and so we don't want to have any spill onto the adjacent property. So you'll notice that the fixture is actually canted a little bit, whereas in the park, it's actually a flat reflector. I think it's actually a picture in one of the very first rendering.
Is the lamp the same?
The lamp is exactly the same.
Is it right here?
That light output?
Yes. Yeah, so the light output's the same. So you see how the top
pole
of the reflector, the pole ones are exactly the same.
Those, yeah. Right.
So those are, they're exactly the same. They're shorter on the top part than the ones that are in that park.
I asked that because I walked through that park a couple weeks ago at night, and they've got a cluster of those on that northeast corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your impression of that light quality there? It was kind of overwhelming to me.
The difference between this particular fixture and the one that's in the Carruthers Park, and I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the linear pole. This is actually an indirect version of that particular fixture. So the actual lamp itself is actually in the pole,
right.
shines up, and then goes
right.
down, whereas down. In the one in Carruthers Park, it's actually a linear,
okay.
and it goes out, which tends to be a little bit more glaring.
More glare. Okay, great, great. Okay.
All right, so if that's all the comments that we have from the commission, I do need to, this is still an open case, if there's anyone from the public that wants to speak about this project, you're more than welcome to do so. There should be yellow forms in the back of the room, and you give them a page. I'm not saying a huge clamor to go do that, so I'm going to go ahead and close the record. And what I will need from one of my fellow commissioners is a motion to accept the staff report.
Is what?
Is a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the staff report.
Okay.
Approve the staff report.
As written.
Okay, thanks, Ben. We have a second from Ben, and Paige, if you can call roll.
Ben Cousin?
Aye.
Jane Hansen?
Aye.
Kathleen Schultz?
Aye.
Kathleen Schultz, sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
She got two votes. Aye. Okay, thank you very much. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed the process. Thank you so much.